is the Angry GM, and this is a proofread aloud of an article. It is going into early access as soon as I am pretty much done recording it, which is today, August 31st, the last possible day of the month. For those of you listening to the proofread aloud, you might notice I sound a little off. I'm getting over a respiratory infection. Blame Tiny GM for it. I already said this in the pre-show. I do have a live audience listening in the live chat voice channel in the Angry Discord. I will take Q&A from them after this is all over. Bright red question mark emojis and bright red exclamation mark emojis for questions and comments. I will hang out for a total of 1 hour. Recording this will probably take 35 minutes. And so here we go with the proofread aloud of feature 0804, what training looks like and why it matters. Let's talk about RPG towns and town mode and an eensy-weensy tiny little problem I ran into while building a town for town mode. The problem? I don't know what the hell I'm doing. When I started writing this town mode shit, I thought I had it all figured out. Well, I thought I had it mostly figured out. Figured out enough. And I figured I'd use my recently reincarnated AOWG to work the rest out before I had to write the next town mode article. The one wherein I'd actually explain what a town mode town looks like. Building my own town mode town would let me take the nebulous shit I thought I knew and make it into a concrete thing. Now, don't panic. This ain't the disaster it sounds like. It's not like I don't know how to town mode at all, and I'm not canceling the series. It just took me some extra time to work out the problem and fix it. And if I hadn't put my AOWG on hold for health reasons, I'd have gotten it done sooner. But I did get it done, which is why I'm writing this today. This here's another supplemental bullshit article about town mode. It's about how no one knows how to handle training, and why that's an important thing to know, and why I had to figure out how to handle it right. Word of warning, though, this here's another incomplete system. It's the start of something I'll need to fully codify later. It's codified enough to get through the town mode thing. But I'll come back and recodify it more once I've fully finished this town mode. More fully, yeah. But I'll come back and recodify it more. Yeah, I don't need to say fully. I lost my cursor. It vanished. There it is. It was two lines away. But I'll come back and recodify it more once I've finished this town mode thing, okay? Sorry. This is just how my stupid brain works sometimes. Heading, every town's a college town. A long time ago, I don't remember when, I argued that training's good for fantasy RPG games. Fantasy RPG games is redundant. I should say role-playing games the first time and then use the abbreviation after that. A long time ago, I don't remember when, I argued that training's good for fantasy role-playing games. I don't mean it's good to train people to run games, though that would be good. I mean it's good for fantasy RPGs if the characters have to spend downtime between adventures training. That is to say, it's good if level gains aren't automatic. When a character earns enough XP to cross a level threshold, they've got to go back to a civilized locale and spend time and money turning that worldly adventuring experience into enhanced skills and abilities. Training. From a narrative and gameplay perspective, training does a lot of good for the game. Enough to easily balance the fact that it requires a bit more bookkeeping and that players hate it. I'm not going to waste time explaining this shit again, though. I know I've explained it before, I just can't find it anywhere. Let's just pretend I've got lots of good reasons for saying training's better than not training, okay? Anyway, when you think about it, training is the sort of de facto center of the town mode orbit. It's something the players want, something they can only get in town, and something that forces them to interact with town regularly. If the characters level up every two or three adventures, that means they've got to train at least that often, right? As such, training helps you build town mode towns. When you get down to it, a town's just a container for all the shit you want to happen in town mode, right? Just like a dungeon's a container for monsters and puzzles and treasures, a town's just a place where development and interaction happen and information is obtained and all that other town mode crap, right? Building a town mode town's actually about taking all that crap and turning them into locations and characters the players can interact with. When you build a town mode town, you've got to make sure it provides all the shit the players need, right? And you've got to prevent that shit as things in the world. Well, one of those things is training. The problem is, none of you seems to know what training looks like. And frankly, neither did I. But now I do. Heading: Professional PCs. Here's the thing. I've fielded a lot of questions about training since I started singing its praises, especially in my supporters-only Discord server. And one thing I've discovered is that you've all got a really limited understanding of training. Specifically, y'all conflate training with mentoring, or apprenticeship, or one-on-one instruction. An expert, a trainer, educates a less expert up-and-comer, a PC, in a given skill set, teaches them new skills, tricks, and techniques. The problem with that view is it means every town mode town must contain a high-level barbarian, a high-level bard, a high-level cleric, a high-level druid, a high-level... You get the effing picture. You need a trainer for every class in every town mode town. Or at least one for every class in the party. The World of Warcraft approach. Many of you have pointed out that's really contrived. It strains credulity and verisimilitude and all those other fancy ways of saying it makes for a dumbass gamey world. And I agree. Me, I see training differently, and I've said so. The problem is, I haven't been able to say exactly how I see training. Because I've been hand-waving the whole thing in my own game. Here's the thing. Back in the dark days, I was an accountant. And to keep practicing, accountants, like many professionals, had to do something called ongoing professional development, or OPD. Apart from just, you know, being an accountant, you had to spend a certain amount of time networking at conferences and taking classes and studying journals or even teaching courses. You had to immerse yourself in the profession. This is really common shit. Most professions and trades have similar requirements. Even professional athletes don't just play games. They work out, practice, drill, run plays, work with trainers and coaches, and so on. The point of OPD isn't just to learn new stuff. Some of it is. Tax laws change every year and there's new developments in every field. But even when there's nothing new to learn, it's still useful to immerse yourself in a skill set without actually exercising it in the high-pressure situation of a Super Bowl game or an IRS audit. It's about synthesis. It's about absorbing. It's about building contacts. It's about seeing things from different perspectives. It's about experimenting and trying shit out. It's about deepening your connection to your profession and recharging your professional batteries before the next tax season. PCs aren't apprentices. Maybe at first level they kind of are, but they're not. They're experts in their fields. Professionals. Journeymen, at least. They know what they're doing well enough to function in high-pressure situations. So training and practice between adventures aren't so much about learning the skills as it is synthesizing and evolving and experimenting and connecting. It's ongoing professional development. A fighter doesn't need someone to teach him how to make a whirl... Bleh. A fighter doesn't need someone to teach him to make a whirlwind strike. He just needs a chance to practice the thing he accidentally did against the ogre that was sort of a whirlwind strike to see if he can do it consistently and pull it out whenever the chips are down. A wizard doesn't need someone to teach him how to cast a fireball. He knows how to throw fire already. Given time and some research material, he can work out the formula. A cleric just needs time to reflect on his experiences and his connection to his god, find some peace, center himself, meditate, reflect, and reconnect to the ideals that make him who he is. Thus, the angry view of training is a pretty personal one. Every character does training differently. This is why the angry approach to training has thus far been hand-waving that shit. I just say, okay, you go off and do training. From a town mode perspective, the angry approach to training totally effing sucks. Seriously, it sucks worse than the World of Warcraft one trainer per class approach. And that's why I was struggling to build a town. Heading. Trainers as a town building checklist. As I said above, training's a useful town building tool because the need for training provides players with a destination, a goal. When the players hit town, they go looking for certain things, right? Places to sleep, places to eat, places to sell loot, places to buy potions, and places to train. And those places, those essential services, basically work like a town-building checklist. They're the places you know the PCs are going first, so they're the first places you build. But on the list of essential services, training's special. Inns and blacksmiths and leatherworkers and apothecaries are fun little places to create and populate, but they're impersonal. They ain't keyed to any specific character or role. Not the way training is. Training facilities don't just provide training. They provide role-specific interactions. They provide leads to specific resources, even adventure hooks tailored to specific roles. Training anchors individual character roles in the town in a way few other destinations do. See why hand-waving this shit sucks? It doesn't give you, the GM, anything specific to build destinations around, and it doesn't give the players anything to go looking for. See, if the players don't know what training actually looks like in the world, they can't actually look for it. And if the players don't know what they're looking for, they don't know how to explore town. If training is an abstract, hand-wave thing characters go off and do, the world interaction begins and ends with, I go train. When it comes to building, running, and playing in town, training's important. Way too effing important to hand-wave and abstract away. But the World of Warcraft class trainer in every town approach sucks from a narrative and world-building perspective. Fortunately, as I noted, it's the product of a limited view of training as mentorship and instruction. If you take the broader view, training as ongoing professional development, it's about synthesis, experimentation, reflection, interaction, and deepening one's connection to one's skills in non-life or death situations, then maybe there's a way to split the difference. Maybe. Heading. Defining training, but not too definitively. Whoops. Little problem there. Clicked in the wrong spot. Okay. Heading. Defining training, but not too definitively. Nice sell, right? Come on. You know when I say, maybe there's a way to get everything you want. You know what's coming next. There's a way. I found it. Well, guess what? There is a way, and I found it. The key is to break training down into different classes. Not game classes, classification classes. Kinds of training that are specific enough that the GM can build characters, locations, and interactions around them the players can go looking for, but not so specific, this is a long... Okay. Kinds of training. This is a long sentence. Okay. I'm snorting into the microphone a little bit. The key is to break training down into different classes. Not game classes, classification classes. Kinds of training that are specific enough that the GM can build characters, locations, and interactions around. I need to just drop that one clause. Okay. Kinds of training that are specific enough that the GM can build characters, locations, and interactions around, but not so specific as to bind the GM into providing a class trainer in every town. Okay. I don't like that, but I can't make it better. It's clear enough. Okay. Classifications that can be linked to character classes and backgrounds and proficiencies, but not, like, one-for-one links. So first, here are Angry's 5 training modes. Subheading, academic training. Academic training includes research, study, experimentation, instruction, and consultation with experts. It's the sort of shit PCs do in libraries and labs and archives or with sages and scholars. Money spent on academic training buys office supplies, experimental reagents, and consumable materials. It acquires books and equipment, and it pays fees or bribes to access private book collections or pays scholars and experts for their time. It's also the sort of shit PCs can do on their own with their own lab equipment and book collections, especially if they have a safe place to build a lab or library over time. Subheading, martial training. Martial training includes exercise, Martial training includes exercise, physical conditioning, sparring, target practice, drills, forms, martial instruction, and even brawling or pit fighting. Any physical activity that builds muscle, coordination, reflexes, and that kind of crap. Most towns have spaces set aside for militia training and exercise and conscript militia training and exercise, and barracks for military training. And friendly outsiders may be welcome to participate. That's putting aside things like back alley brawling circles, gymnasiums, and monasteries. And money spent on martial training can buy access to such facilities as well as training partners. It also buys and maintains practice equipment, which breaks frequently, and covers fees to buy into street fights. PCs can also engage in martial training on their own. All they need is an open space, but the more equipment they've got, like dummies and archery butts and crazy mechanical obstacles, the better they can train. Subheading. Networking training. Networking training involves interacting with others, and that can take a lot of forms. Professionals, like criminals and artisans, hang out with other professionals, especially in guild halls, and trade gossip, professional secrets, rumors, leads, and access to materials. But networking isn't just about spending time with members of your own profession. Criminals benefit from rubbing soldiers with honest citizens like merchants, members of law enforcement, and upper-class types. Minstrels and performers get a lot of inspiration by chatting with travelers and mercenaries and sailors. They learn news from foreign lands and hear new stories. Priests deepen their connection to the divine by ministering to their flock, by going amongst the people. All that shit constitutes networking. Money spent on networking mostly gets spent in dribs and drabs on food and drinks and gifts and bribes and finder's fees and dues and that sort of shit. By its nature, networking training ain't the sort of thing a PC can do without a community around them. But there is a difference between networking with a professional group, a performing troupe or a guild, or just networking with folks about town. And a PC with a nice house can host enough events to bring the networking to them. Subheading, practical training. Practical training is even more varied than networking training. It involves practicing a skill set. Wilderness survival, for example, or artisanship, or burglary, or carnival artistry. Wow. That's the crinkle of my water bottle. Sorry. Practical training is even more varied. This might have been a mistake. Okay. Take 7. Practical training is even more varied than networking training. It involves practicing a skill set. Wilderness survival, for example, or artisanship, or burglary, or con artistry. Basically, it's engaging in a profession. What's the difference between doing that shit as training and as part of an adventure? In a word, safety. Committing a few minor crimes around town with a gang is much safer than delving dungeons full of monsters. And hunting in the local forest with a few buddies isn't the same as trekking across the sludge water swamp for a week. I misspelled the word sludge. And hunting in the local forest with a few buddies isn't the same as trekking across Sludgewater Swamp for a week trying to keep the party's idiot gnome bard alive. Of course, hunting and burglary are more dangerous than putting in some hours at the Smith's Guild filling orders. Because practical training varies from skill set to skill set, so does the money spent and the facilities needed. Subheading: Ritual Training. Ritual training is about ceremonies, vigils, rites, meditation, reflection, arcana, and spirituality. It's about connecting with something, a deity, a supernatural force, an ideal, ki, chi, whatever. Priests spend days in prayer and meditation and reflect on the scriptures. Knights sit vigils and reaffirm oaths. Monks fast and meditate. Warlocks hide in basements with their cultist buddies, inhaling hallucinogenic vapors and listening to heavy metal, that kind of shit. Money spent on ritual training obviously pays for ritual materials, but it can also pay for access to ritual spaces, either in the form of fees or in the form of donations. PCs can engage in ritual training on their own easily enough, provided they can get long hours of safety, quiet, and privacy. And they can definitely benefit from constructing their own sacred spaces and ritual facilities. Heading. Wait, that's it? And that's it. That's the angry approach to training. Awesome, right? F no, of course it's not awesome. I know it's not. It's just five little descriptive keywords. But really, that's all I need it to be. All you need it to be. At least for now. Look, I was just trying to make a town building tool. A little checklist a GM could use to stock a town mode town with essential services and describe them in the world. Those five keywords do exactly that. All you have to do is assign each PC one or two training modes based on their class, background, and skills, and build people and places where PCs can engage in them, which is all I'm doing right now. Actually, I'm assigning each of my PCs, well, I'm working with each of my players to assign each of my PCs, a primary and a secondary training mode they can use to level up, one they benefit from the most, and one they can settle for in a pinch. And that should get your noggin jogging. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a bigger thing here. I keep differentiating shit. Drawing lines between things. Like, I talked about how PCs can train on their own or train with others, and how they could build their own facilities, and how some kinds of training carry extra risks that others don't. And I'm differentiating between primary and secondary training modes. Obviously, I've got fancy plans and pants to match. This whole training thing could be way more interesting. Once you define something, even if you'd only define it just definitively enough, you can differentiate it. Once you can differentiate it, you can build choices and strategies and tools and consequences around it. Imagine there's a cleric in my game that benefits primarily from ritual training, but can also benefit from networking, proselytizing, tending the flock, doing good works for the people. And suppose, in my game, training works better in established facilities with other professionals. Training on your lonesome is always worse. Got it? In the past, this cleric has always cloistered himself in temples to his god wherever he goes. But now he's in a town with no temple to his god. Does he worship in private, setting up a little shrine in his inn room? Or does he go out among the people and network? Might he get different benefits from each choice? Might there be a trade-off? When I started making noises about this training shit, someone in my supporters-only Discord server asked how the hell I'd even differentiate different kinds of training. The fact is, I already do. In my AOWG, I treat solo training and mentored training differently. Some of the benefits are pretty specific to D&D 3.5, but if a PC trains with a mentor instead of on their own to gain a level, they gain a 10% XP bonus on their way to the next level. They learn faster until they level up again. And that's just with me hand-waving this training shit. With this approach, I can differentiate training modes in all sorts of ways. Some require more time or less time. Some are cheaper. Some are more expensive. And maybe that varies depending on where the PCs are. Some might not even be available in every locale. That's why everyone must have two training modes. Some training modes might provide extra benefits. Academic training might provide extra information or adventure hooks or access to non-core spells from my secret library of source books. Professional training provides the chance to make money on the side. Some training modes carry risks, like arrest or injury, but the payoffs for those are probably better. By defining training the way I have, I've suddenly got a bunch of little hooks I can hang town mode shit on, but not so many that it's unimaginable. But I need to tinker and fiddle now, see what I can really do. The point is, yeah, this is all, for now. It's enough to build town around, and that's the point. But is there an angry approach to training coming down the pipeline? You bet your ass there is. And that is it. That was a little bit short. 3,400 words. It's a little short, but I couldn't go much farther with it yet today. So that is what it is. And I didn't want to lose the idea, and I really do need it to set up what I'm eventually going to do with building a town, which is going to, we'll see when that comes out, because it does need some more work now. But that aside, that's the article for today and the proofread aloud, and I will talk to you all again soon.